I don't know if you've ever thought about how directional life is for us. How much of our life is really spent figuring out what direction, what path to go. Let me give some examples, I think, of what I mean and sort of aim it at where we're headed today. Last week, in one day, I had two people downtown ask me directions. One was, how do you get to Washington Street? They wanted to get to an office. So I said, well, you go that direction, one block, and start looking for your building. And then another person asked how to get to Barnwell Street. Well, you go two blocks that direction. You turn right, go another four blocks, and then you'll hit Barnwell Street. And in giving them directions, help them sort out that little piece of their lives. But certainly there are other examples that expand this. If we want to figure out how to do something, it can really almost be anything. What is it that we do? Well, we ask someone who knows how to do it to show us the way. Or if we can't find someone to show us, we get the directions to show us the way. Directions are just a part of life. And of course, there are more important areas of life where we see this. If you're a parent, how many parents, how many of us have had those moments when we had that little child at home and said, I sure wish they'd given me an instruction manual for how to do this. And of course, as parents, we do turn to those who have done it before, looking for wisdom and insight. And as believers, certainly we know that the scriptures give us much help in that. But there's just a sense that we need direction. But maybe the most important area of life is life itself. When we find ourselves wanting to know how we can make it through this life, how can we navigate in this world, this broken, this fallen, this often and very often challenging world. You know, we long to know how we can cut a path through this life. Well, we've been considering the book of Proverbs the last few weeks, and we've seen where it is a book that brings to us much wisdom from God. And it is a wisdom that is meant to help believers better navigate their way through this broken and challenging world. But in that context, it's not surprising that in the book we find a certain expression that in essence captures this whole matter of finding a direction in life. And the little, really it's one word with add-on words that capture this is the expression a way or the way that is used to describe the choices we make about the paths in life we follow. And we can see some of that, those examples, in the four verses I've chosen for us to work off of today. And they're in your program. The first is Proverbs 12:15, which says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. And then Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. And then Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his path. There are many different paths, many different ways that come up before us that we make choices of and pursue in this life. But in the end, I think it is really safe to say that there are ultimately two paths that we as people have to choose in this life. And the way that I think we can narrow it down to two is by saying it, there is either our way or the Lord's way. Our way is described in a couple manners in these verses. It is described as a way that is right in his own eyes. The path that a person chooses on his own is right in his own eyes, or it may be expressed this way, that a way that seems right to a man. And I think we all really, really understand the inclination to pursue our way, that sometimes is a very deep and even a controlling inclination in life, the desire to live life and to do it our way. Well, just expressing it that way, some of you, I think, immediately think of a song written by Frank Sinatra, which in many ways has become the anthem for that whole approach to life. The song is, "I Did It My Way," and some of the words say this: "I lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there are times, I'm sure you know, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and I did it my way." And with this song, which, you know, can be fun to listen to, I think what we actually find is a glorification of doing life our way. But what is it that our verses have to say about doing life or living life our way? Well, I think three things come out of these four verses. And the first is this: the person who lives life his way is described as a fool. 12:15, Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. It should not surprise us that the topic of being a fool or foolishness is a big part of this book of Proverbs, a book that in many ways focuses on wisdom, God's wisdom. The counterpart to that is the path of foolishness, or the path of being a fool. And I think we all know those moments and experiences of being foolish, and one would suspect that we've experienced it in our own eyes far too many times. But the challenge of Proverbs is not only to give up certain foolish actions, but most of all, the challenge of Proverbs is actually to not be a fool. Do not be the person whose life in the end is actually defined by this path of foolishness, defined by living life totally our way. So how do we become a person who in the end has a life that is not defined by foolishness or not defined by pursuing our way? Well, hold on to that question. And before we end today, I hope that we will see the biblical answer to that question. Well, second, we discover that the person who lives life their way is the person who has been deceived. 14:8, Proverbs 14:8, "But the folly of fools is deceiving." The path of living life our way, the path of being the fool, if you will, is a path that comes from being deceived. Who were the first fools to live in this world? Well, I think we can say the first fools were Adam and Eve. And how did they end up in that state? Well, we know from Genesis that they responded to deception. There was the serpent who entered their world, their perfect world at that time in the garden, and that serpent challenged the validity and trustworthiness of God's word that had been spoken to them. And what was the serpent's challenge to Adam and Eve, and in particular Eve? Well, he said in essence to them, "Did God really say that you can't eat that fruit of that tree? You don't have to live life God's way, do you? You could do it your way. You think the fruit of that tree looks good? Well, go ahead and eat it. Have it your way and not his way. And so in a moment of rebellion, in a moment of sin, in a moment of being deceived, in a moment of foolishness, Adam and Eve did it their way. And the world has been filled with foolishness and fools ever since. Well, the third thing we discover about people doing things their way is this. They do things their way not because they think it's wrong, but because they think it's right. Verse 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. When people live life their own way, they do so because they think it seems right to them. More song lyrics. There's a song that has this line, how can it be wrong if it feels so right? Or you could really rephrase that, how could it be wrong if it seems so right? There are many ways and paths in life that seem right to a person and can feel right, that in the end are ways to absolute disaster and ways ultimately to death, to spiritual death. This is an example that sometime, somewhere since I've been here, I've used, and I just don't remember when, but it fits the situation. There's a bridge in the city of Pittsburgh, the city that I grew up in, that goes from the middle of downtown Pittsburgh across the river right to where the two sports stadiums are these days. But for many years, that bridge was partially completed. It stood there over the river about four-fifths done, and for years, that's how it stood there. And it became known as the Bridge to Nowhere. Well, one night, a young college student had a little bit too much to drink. And driving along the road that led up to the bridge, they ignored the signs. They ignored the things trying to keep people away that said, do not enter here. And one suspects that in the state of mind that that person was at that moment, they thought, this seems like a nice road. Actually, it doesn't seem like a road that's been used very much. And look, there's a bridge, and I want to get on the other side of this river, so I'm going to just take this bridge. And along over the bridge they went, and you're right, they went off the end. Well, you need to know, just so you don't worry about the person, that they actually landed at the very edge of the river in the shallow. So instead of going into the river and maybe drowning or hitting the ground and having instant death, they survived. They were actually not hurt that much. But the point is, how many times do people choose a path through life that seems right to them, that in the end is a path that leads to disaster, leads to destructive consequences? The path looks like a bridge to them that will take them to where they think they want to go. But in the end, what happens? Well, we all know way too many examples of how people have chosen paths that they thought were right, but in the end ended up absolutely disastrous. So there is a living life our way or my way that we understand. And the Proverbs certainly do not affirm that path in life. But instead, they come to us and say, there's another way. There's the way of wisdom. There's the way that the Lord would have us pursue. And in this book of Proverbs, and certainly in the whole of Scriptures, we are given amazing insight into life as God would want us to live it. In our passage, we see, I think, a couple of examples of the sort of wisdom and insight that is given to us in the pursuit of the Lord's way in life. Verse 12:15 speaks of the fact that a wise person, the person pursuing the Lord's way, is a person who listens and receives instruction. A wise man listens to advice. And if a person, the person who is so self-assured and even cocky about their opinions, is the person who isn't open to advice, but a wise person, a person who is open to the Lord's way, is one who does listen to others who have wisdom, or in particular to the Lord himself. And another example of the right path is seen in verse 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent discern his way. Now, the wise person is a discerning person. He's able to sort out the difference, if you will, between deception, between the lie and that which is truth, according to God's word. And he's able to figure out the difference between the Lord's way and the way of his own life, and he's able to make decisions on that basis. And the list of wisdom that God gives us to pursue this path that is his path is really enormous. But over it all, I think there really hangs a question, a hugely important question, and it's this: if it were easy to get on the right path of life, if it were easy to get on the Lord's way, why don't people just do it? Why don't we all just pick ourselves up and live that way? Well, when we look at the world and we look at the lives of people in this world, that would include us, if left to ourselves, we are a people who are running headlong into foolishness. It's everywhere, universal. And it begs a question: how do we get on the right path? How do we abandon our way in order to pursue the Lord's way? And Proverbs 16:9, the last verse of those I've chosen, I think points at the answer to that question. It says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord, in the end, establishes his steps." In order to end up on the right path, the Lord's path, the Lord must intervene. The Lord must overcome and overrule our ways in order to establish his ways. And Proverbs is a book that in its own way cries out for our need to be rescued from the paths of foolishness that we are prone to choose, to be rescued from that path and to be set on a whole new path of life. And in this way, the book of Proverbs actually points to the need for what God has done in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the Son of Man came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came into this world on a rescue mission. It was a mission to rescue us from our sin and its consequences. It was a rescue mission to rescue us from those things that lead to death, and to set us on a path that leads to the Lord and leads to life. And in talking about the wonderful work of Christ in this way, Paul in Romans says this: "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." It is the message of a Christ who came while we were totally given to our own way and totally given to our foolishness, who came while we were still weak. He died for our sins so that we might have the sins of our foolishness forgiven by what he has done on the cross. But it's not only a message about being forgiven for our foolishness. It's a message about how God comes with that gospel message, and in the hearing of it and in the work of God the Holy Spirit and bringing us to believe it and trust in us, he creates a people who have a living faith, a faith that begins to change their lives. And the scriptures describe that as a new creation within us, a new life within believers. And it is that new life in Christ that enables us to begin to set aside the foolishness of what we do with our lives and to begin to pursue that path of wisdom, to begin to pursue the Lord's way through life. And that is what the power of the gospel does in people's lives. But having been turned around by the gospel, How easy is it then to really pursue this new life, this path which is the Lord's way? Well, I think you know the answer. It's not easy at all. And even though we have been given in Christ a new desire to actually leave foolish things behind and to begin to pursue the Lord's way in life, there are all sorts of forces at work around us and within us that make this path a hard one to pursue. Let me give an example that I think may actually help us in thinking about this. Recently, I had to purchase some new tires for one of our cars, and while they had the car, they said, "Well, do you want us to check the alignment on your car?" And I said, "Sure, that would be a good thing to do." And what they do is to see if the tires that look like they're headed in a certain direction really are, or if they are pulling a different way. Because if you have tires that are out of alignment, you may be sitting in your driver's seat, driving your car, pointing it in the direction you think you want it to go, but all the while there is a tire, or maybe more than one tire, that is quietly and silently trying to take your car in a slightly different direction. And as Christians, we may be convinced that we want to pursue the Lord's way, and we are sitting there trying to aim in that direction, but at the same time, there are aspects of our lives that are out of alignment, that are pulling us in the opposite direction. It may be the thoughts of our mind. It may be our emotions, sometimes very deep emotions. It may be our wills that are out of alignment. And they are pulling us away from this path that we would really, in the end, long to pursue. So what is it that we do? How do we improve the, if you will, the alignment of the pursuit of the Lord's way in our lives? Well, there is much that can be said, but let me leave us with thoughts. One thing that hit my mind in this regard is what Paul wrote to the Romans, in particular in chapter 12 and verse 2, where he had just finished talking about the greatness of God's rescue mission in Jesus Christ, about the gospel. And then he begins to apply, and he says, "On the basis of that great mercy which is found in Jesus Christ, you should be transformed by the renewal of your minds." We are a people who, in Christ, need our lives and our minds transformed by Jesus Christ. And is that an instant work? Absolutely not. Actually, it is a work that will be at work within us until we go to be with the Lord. And we need to pursue the transforming work of the gospel in our lives in order to, if you will, improve the alignment of our lives. And part of that, Paul also captures with this image. He says we are to be people who seek to put the old man, the old person, the out-of-alignment person, to death, and to pursue the building up of that new person, that new creation that we are in Christ. And as we seek those things and really much, much more, bit by bit, God helps those who have been rescued by him, who have trusted in him, to begin to increasingly pursue a path through this life that can become the Lord's path through this life and not our own. So, life is directional, isn't it? And essentially, there really are just two fundamental directions that are before all of us in this life. We can pursue life, in the end, totally our way. It is the fool's way. We can pursue the Lord's way of wisdom, the way that is given to us because he has rescued us in Jesus Christ. And if you aspire to be a person who wants to pursue the Lord's way, but you have found it maybe impossible to do so, that it's something that really in the end seems foreign to you, Jesus Christ is there waiting to enter your life and to rescue you and to change you, to create within you that new person that can begin to pursue that new life. And if you are a believer but find yourself being drawn on ridges that end up going nowhere, or find that far too many aspects of your life seem out of alignment, which we all do, then he would have us to be a people who would cry out to him, saying, Lord, renew me, Lord, refine me, Lord, reshape me, so that my life might be your life, and that my life might pursue your way through this life. Well, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your amazing ways in this life. We thank you that you are a God who has been immensely patient with the foolishness of our lives, our dogged pursuit of our ways far too often. So, Lord, we thank you for the grace that is given to us in Jesus Christ, the turning around of our lives by that grace. And we would ask that day by day, you might show the reality of that grace so that we might continue to bit by bit be a people who grow in our knowledge of what it is to live our lives, not for ourselves, but to live them your way. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.